Good afternoon, and welcome back to another edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey, alongside with Matt Tritton, and for the next hour, we'll be talking Northwest Missouri State Athletics as we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. And Matt, as you take a look at this past week, some things that really stand out. First of all, you look at cross country. They just capped off a very exciting season and a very good trip to Sacramento with the national championship meet taking place out there.
Yeah, they did. Northwest Missouri State bringing back three All-Americans. That is the most All-Americans coming back from the national championship meet the Bearcats have ever had. A few years back, it was Karima Chingley and Jordan Cope. They had a pair of All-Americans come back, but three, Grant Bradley, Nate Mueller, Drew Atkins, all return. You have to be a top 40 runner individually to come back as an All-American. They were all within the top 25, and they were all within 9 seconds of each other. Of course, we'll hear from Grant and Nate coming up in just a little bit. But last week at this time, said, Grant, you want to be competitive. What's a goal? What's a successful championship meet for you? And he says, the three of us have been within 20 seconds of each other every meet all year long. I want to be able to see my teammates as I cross the finish line. And it's Grant. 3/10 of a second later, it's Nate. And then Drew. And then 9 seconds later, it's Nate Mueller coming across the finish line. So, you know, that trio has been so good up front for Northwest, but top to bottom, that men's cross country team. They've been great. They finished 10th as a team, the second best team finish ever for Northwest in the national championship. So they really capped off a great cross-country season. Now, of course, they're going to transition pretty quick to indoor track and field through the winter, but hopefully a chance to kind of celebrate and enjoy what they're able to accomplish this fall.
Yeah, it seems like a lot for those runners. There's not a lot of downtime, especially the distance runners, because they go from cross country, then you've got your indoor, then you've got the outdoor track and field season. So it's really a 12-month-a-year type of sport for a lot of those guys.
It is, and you know what? We are a week ago this Sunday, so December 7th. That's the Mill Church McClassic coming up. So is that Sunday or is that a Saturday? December 7th, regardless, it's a weekend. That is the first indoor meet, and it's going to be right here at home. So, I mean, it's not a joke. Like, it is happening immediately. So these runners will get geared up and maybe take that one off, be back in January. But regardless, it's a quick turnaround for those guys.
Yeah, of course, for the other competitors in track and field, they've been going at it in practice for a long, long time. Now they finally get a chance to compete.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point you're kind of like itching at the fat chances. Let me win something. I think it's a lot of workouts, and obviously look at the success that Northwest Cross Country Track and Field has had the last few years. They are working hard to get to where they want to be of winning indoor and outdoor national championships. So you talk about being a 12-month year sort of thing. There's some really hard workouts that entire coaching staff is putting these teams through, and so you know they've been grinding. And so, yeah, everybody that's not cross country is like, finally, right? It's been a long way, so that'll get underway here before long.
And last week, the MIAA Volleyball Championships down in St. Joseph, the Northwest volleyball team had a great opening win against Washburn.
Yeah, they did. It was a 4-5 matchup. Northwest is the 5 seed. They were taking on Washburn, who's ranked 25th in the country. The Bearcats took down the Ichabods in that one 3-1. So a really good performance in the MIAA tournament quarterfinals, the second time they had beat Washburn, with Washburn being ranked this season. But then they turned around at the semifinals, just kind of ran into a buzzsaw with Nebraska Kearney, who's a team that's going to be going on to the NCAA regionals here before long. So a tough end of the season there for Northwest. They finish out 16-12 overall. They were 9-7 in conference play. But one interesting stat that we saw from Northwest SID Colin McDonough this morning was that Northwest opponents had a win percentage of well over 600. It was like 6-11 was the opponent winning percentage. That was the schedule Northwest faced. That's the toughest schedule in the country. Yet they still found a way to come out with a 16-12 record, the ninth straight year with a winning record. Coach Worth continues to produce great teams. Obviously, they'd like to be continuing playing and not just wrapping up in the MIAA tournament, but still, this was a really good group, and it kind of feels like they're building that foundation once again that maybe next year or the year after, we're seeing them back in that national tournament and a chance to take on and maybe pull out another MIAA title before long.
You know, you talk about tough schedules. Let's talk about the men's and women's basketball right now, as both teams have played a grueling non-conference schedule up to this particular point. For the Northwest Missouri State women right now, 5 wins in a row, 6-1 on the season, coming off a win last Saturday down in Liberty against William Jewell.
Yeah, this Bearcat team just continues to roll, and, I guess we want to ding them. How do you lose to the second-ranked team in the country, right? Texas Women's University, who's now number one after the WBCA poll got updated last week. Northwest Missouri State moved into the top 25 at number 18, an 80-55 win over William Jewell last week. This team is playing just such good basketball right now. You saw it early on, and we've seen this from Coach Meyer's teams for the last 7 years since he took over the program. But good defense, that's going to be there. But now you're seeing that scoring coming around as well. They have hit 80-plus points three of the last four games. That includes 85 against the previous number one, Minnesota State. So they're averaging 67 points per game, shooting 40% from the field as a team. But they're only allowing 54 points per game. You're seeing defensively just doing a good job there. Rebounding-wise, Kelsey Fields has been terrific once again. Emery Zars and Molly Hartnett are a pair of guards that are getting after it. And then coming off the bench, and we'll talk to her in just a little bit, Sadie Moss is a freshman, has stepped in and really made her impact felt. 4.7 rebounds per game. She also leads the team in block shots with 13 so far. So really making a big impact out there. So you talk about the complete team effort, but you really are seeing top to bottom. It's not just Kaylee Kest and Molly Hartnett leading this team, but different players are picking up portions of the load and carrying Northwest Missouri State. So long, long way to go, but 6-1. They'll start conference play next week. One more non-con coming up at home this Saturday, but you feel pretty good about where this team's at right now.
Hey, you look at the Northwest men's team, record-wise right now, 1-5, I believe, but now maybe off a game or two off this, but I think the combined total of losses for the opponents that Northwest has played up to this point, I think there's just four losses among all the teams that they've played, so they have played at a tremendously tough schedule early on here.
You know, they really have, and I think ideally, coach would like to come in his first year and say, let's stack a couple early wins, maybe some teams that we feel pretty good about coming in and beating, whether it's an NAIA, D3, whatever. And you see a lot of coaches do that through the years. One, Ben McCollum, did that quite often his first few years at Northwest, that we're going to stack some early wins, get that confidence and go. Coach Keeley stepped in, and 98% of the schedule is basically something that he inherited. Not that he's going to back down from that challenge, but he's gone right after it, and they have played some really good basketball teams, some really good in-region basketball teams. You got to see them up at the Peacock Classic in Fayette, Iowa, over the weekend. Number 18, Southwest Minnesota State, who'd already slayed the previous number one in the country, Minnesota State, and that's such a tough matchup. Concordia St. Paul is playing some really good basketball early on. They won five of their first six games, so it's not an easy schedule. There's still a long way to go, but you kind of feel like, all right, just slowly continue to build, find some positives, and get things going in the right direction.
And they couldn't have found two teams that play poorly opposite than what they did this past weekend. Southwest Minnesota State, kind of a slow type of team, takes it down, works the offense, and gets some shots there. Then you got a run-and-gun team out of Concordia St. Paul that came in averaging about 94 points a game. They were able to hold them down to 73. They held down the nation's leading scorer in Antoine Kimmins to just 16 points. He was averaging right at just a little under 30 points per game. So there's some good things that are coming out of this team. They just had a couple stretches where they just went a little cold from the field that hurt them. But overall, you're seeing this team make some strides week to week to week. So they are definitely, despite the record right now, trending in the right direction.
It'll be a process. And I guess the upside to facing two drastically different teams like that is, all right, we faced it. We've got it on tape. Now as we go through the MIAA season, we're kind of ready for whatever haymakers are going to be thrown at us. But we'll get to see that MIAA schedule start December 3rd at home against Missouri Western.
And next Tuesday it gets started that the men's and women's doubleheaders with that. Then you turn around one day off, and then next Thursday you've got a trip to Emporia, Kansas. So they're getting right into it right off the bat here.
I got to be honest. I didn't realize December 3rd was next week. That's kind of crazy.
Yes, it is. All right, we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We got a lot coming up, and we'll have more for you right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and Altar and Home. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are talking Northwest Missouri State Cross Country as the men's team coming back from the national championships that took place over the weekend in Sacramento, California. We are joined by Coach Wick Cunningham, also senior Grant Bradley, and a junior for the men's team, Nate Mueller. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. Congratulations. I mean, that is, it's one thing to be able to get to the national meet. It's another thing to come away with a good team finish. Wick, three All-Americans also coming back for Northwest. This is quite the performance. What was your takeaway overall just from that coaching perspective?
Yeah, you know, I think something that we were really focused on is wanting to get to the national meet and perform well, not just be happy that we got there. And I thought it went pretty well. You know, I don't know if there's any team there that can bat 7-for-7. You know, we didn't, but overall as a collective team, I thought things went pretty well in a top 10 finish. You know, I think we're pretty happy with that, knowing maybe things could have gone a little better, but they could have also gone much worse. So,
Nate, how do you go about getting to Sacramento and everything you've done to this point and talking about let's get there and not just kind of being happy to be there, but wanting to come out there and make some noise?
Yeah, I think we all had our sights set on, you know, going to get in a top 10 finish or even, you know, higher if we could on that day. We knew that, like, on our best day, we could, you know, get close to a top 6 or 7 spot. And like Coach said, you know, we all had some areas where maybe we could have ran better. You know, even Grant and me, you know, looking back on our race, there was, you know, things that we, you know, thought we could have done better. And so I think it's always just like not trying not to be content and looking at, you know, what we could have done better, but also walking away with a top 10 finish. And looking at, you know, that accomplishment, and we're really proud of that together.
Grant, you talked last week about you want to be competitive, but also ideally you and Drew and Nate have been within 20 seconds of each other all year long, and you want to cross that finish line and be able to see your teammates right there. I mean, you and Drew are right there together, and then Nate's just 9 seconds behind. I mean, ultimately, do you walk away pleased and feel like you accomplished what you set out to do?
Yeah. It's getting kind of underwhelming because we keep predicting what's going to happen, I think. No, we're happy with it. I mean, we're not going to act like going in and getting top 10, we're just going to be dissatisfied with it. You know, even though we thought we could get top 10 all season after every meet, we're thinking, yeah, we can be a top 10 team, and then doing it, it might be a little underwhelming, but we're still, you know, we put in all the work to do it, and we still had to do it on that day because we could have easily finished 26th or something, you know, and we would have been dissatisfied with that. But no, it was great to see both of them the entire race. Every time I'd look back, or, you know, when Drew was breaking away, it was just awesome to see it all unfold.
Looking back on the last 6 months, what were your expectations when you decided to come to Northwest? And does it feel like you checked the boxes you wanted to check? Did you leave anything out there?
No, I checked every box. I checked boxes that weren't there for sure. I just wanted to help the team to perform better than they did at the national meet last year. And I think that was going to happen with or without me. But I didn't truly know how I could perform in cross country until after the first meet. So goals might have changed a little after that first meet. But, yeah, boxes got checked, and I think we're satisfied going into track, which most of us prefer more than cross country, I think.
Nate, for you, 37 seconds off your 10K time at the Nationals a year before. Now, course and conditions and different things play a factor in that too, but how much have you grown the last 365 days to see yourself as a different runner?
Yeah, I think I've definitely grown, not just, you know, at practice, but also, like, outside of practice. I think last year I was dealing with a lot of things off the track or off the course as well, and so I've been able to, you know, clean that up and mental health is something that I've struggled with in my past. So this year was like my mental health was in a lot better place, which allowed me to like practice better and perform better and be there more for my team. So I think I still have a lot of, you know, progress to be made and, you know, things I got to continue to work on from day to day. And it's never going to be perfect, but I think just each day just trying to get, you know, better for me and my team. And I think I can attribute that to, you know, the jump that I made this year, definitely.
We're talking Northwest Cross Country with Coach Wick Cunningham, also a pair of All-Americans, Grant Bradley, Nate Mueller with us too. And Wick, this 10th place finish as a team, the second best ever in Northwest history. Take us back a week ago, Sacramento. And what do you talk with this team about pre-race? What's the discussion when you've got a lot of guys that have experience and they've been successful? What's the message before a big meet like that?
Yeah, so I think the biggest message is don't make it something that it's not. At the end of the day, it's a 10K with a lot of high-caliber runners. And that's not anything fancy. That's not anything new. I think sometimes you can look at some of these top-tier teams like a Colorado Mines or a Wingate or Adam State or whoever else and almost immortalize them and think they're something grander than they actually are, which for the most part is 18 to 22-year-olds trying to race 10K just like us. And then I think, you know, for about a month going into the meet, we were talking about the race play and the positioning we wanted to put ourselves in and, you know, maybe adjusting that even slightly for course conditions, but nothing too much. And I think we were pretty well prepared going in.
Well, Northwest Missouri State comes away a 10th place finish as a team. And Nate and Grant, I'll throw this both to you and to whoever wants to jump in and take it. But just set up the race day for me overall. It had been wet and rainy. What are the conditions like as you step up to start things off? And what's going through your mind as you get ready for the biggest meet of the year?
I can jump in first. I think it was definitely something else, a new experience. I've never been at, you know, that big of a meet, you know, in cross country where, you know, you're doing your pre-race strides and you're stomping through, you know, water, trying to jump over them. And I think what was going through my mind and what I tried to, you know, get through the other guys' mind is like, you know, anything can happen on this day. You know, we can, you know, run with people we don't think that, you know, maybe we're capable of running with, because I think the conditions, you know, the worse the conditions, I think it plays in our favor a little more just because we had a wet region. And so I think just, you know, telling the guys, like, anything can happen today is kind of what, you know, my mindset was at least going in on that day.
Yeah, it was definitely weird preparation. The warm-up, it was, I think it even sprinkled a little on the warm-up, even though it rained the previous 72 hours. But, yeah, once I got striding on the course and realized the conditions, it was just, like, just really sloshy every step. And I don't know, it really was just keeping, like, not necessarily a positive mindset, but like a more hopeful mindset, because like I think we're just as, or if not more, prepared than any other team that was out there because of our rainy conditions. Like, we got rained out, hailed out of a run earlier in the season. We had to take cover for 20 minutes. So I think we've just had a lot of adverse weather conditions, and I think we had a slight advantage, if anything, by it. So it was just kind of just staying calm and staying focused. So, yeah.
Is a track in that situation, you step and you sink? Is it slick? Are you worried about rolling an ankle?
Everything. I mean, there were some corners that were just straight in mud, and you were just praying you didn't fall. And there were some nice, I guess, firm ground throughout the course, surprisingly. And then there were puddles, and it was very odd. Some parts you just felt like you weren't even moving when you're running through them for just like 50 meters straight. So
you hit that corner, you're like, I'm going to do a soccer tackle. I'm going to take out all these guys.
If I was falling, other guys were coming too.
Start grabbing jerseys. Nate, also going through, do you pinpoint who the top guys are supposed to be? Do you have an idea as you step up of like, that's this team, focus on this guy, check this guy?
I don't think I did as much research as I usually would, just because I have, you know, Grant and Drew on my team that are starting in the same box as me. And I know, you know, Drew All-American last year, so that's a guy I want to, you know, try to run with. And then Grant obviously has beaten me all year. So that's another guy that, you know, he's on my team, but it's also like a good marker of like, okay, he's beaten me all year. Like, if I can stay with, you know, I know this guy's going to go and get top 20, you know, if I can hang around him, then I think I'm in a good spot. And so I think just having those teammates with me, you know, in my own box is huge. And it takes a lot of the stress away of, like, you know, looking around at, you know, the other teams. And obviously, you know, Ryan Hartman, he's pretty easy to, you know, look out for. He's pretty tall. He's got that really blonde hair. So I think he's a guy who's easy to find, even though I didn't find him really. But, yeah, so.
Okay, and we talk all year about the mental game, right, and battling through where you're at in the course and the pain and all that stuff. But is there also a mental side, too, to where you want to get in the other guy's head? Like, is anybody chirping? Like, you've got 2K left to go, and you're yelling at the guy next to you, like, you're not going to beat me.
There wasn't a whole lot of that at Nationals, just because I think we're so tired. But, no, he doesn't do that.
Nate chirped. Let me get this. He chirped to me, though. A K into the race or so. You know, we've got 9K to go. We're 3 minutes in, and he said, this is a tempo. Like, this is tempo pace. He looked over and said it to me, and I said, I hope you're thinking that. I was hurting already. It was a hot first 2 minutes of the race were really hot, so I need some time to recover. Yeah. And that's what his mindset was. So, yeah, he was chirping over to me, but not at any of the competitors. But hopefully they heard that, and they were hurting too. So
yeah. It's all about getting inside their head.
Right. It's, yeah.
Got in my head.
Northwest Cross Country wraps up the championship season, finishing 10th as a team. Wake, you mentioned before the indoor season getting fired up and now heading into that. How much of a break did these guys get? And also, we're about a week out from this weekend from the first indoor meet, the Mel Churchman Classic. Tell me about the preparation that goes into that as well.
Yeah, so looking at the Mel Churchman Classic, we probably won't have any of these guys running that race. They're on a much deserved break right now, so they'll start running by the end of the week and, you know, kind of have an easy week before they really get training for a big indoor season. But that being said, we have some people that are on a timeline that they're going to run at this meet, so it's a lot of moving parts on my end to take care of. But hopefully, it makes it seamless for each individual athlete, depending on what they're going to do.
Do you like this time where you transition from the cross country to the indoor? There's so much work, I feel like, that comes with getting Hughes set up and getting all these teams ready. Coach's perspective, what's that like?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I feel like it's almost busier in the transition period for me in the preparation, because at the end of the day, I think, you know, a coach's job is a service to their athletes, and you want to make sure that their experience and their season, their practice schedule, their routine is easygoing and as maybe normal as possible. So I try to take care of all that stuff on the front end. So, you know, it's Thanksgiving break, and it's a lonely world in the office right now. Now, there's some other coaches up there, too, doing the same stuff. But it's, you know, in some ways it's refreshing for the change. In some ways it's a little stressful making sure everything's ready to go. And but then there's also that excitement of track season rolling around.
Well, it's been great having you guys on throughout the fall. I appreciate you guys taking a lot of time with us. We got a lot more with the indoor and outdoor season, so hopefully we'll see you again. But congrats on a tremendous cross-country season for Northwest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Whit Cunningham, Grant Bradley, and Nate Mueller joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll step aside and be back with more on KXCV, KRNW.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at MaryvilleForum.com or at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at PizzaRanch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as the Northwest Missouri State basketball season off and running. The women's team sitting right now at 6-1. They have won five straight. We are joined by Northwest head coach Austin Meyer, as well as a pair of freshmen, Brooklyn Stanley and Sadie Moss, joining us. Appreciate you all coming on and talking with us. And Coach Meyer, seven games in. Let's get the assessment of where you think this team's at right now. You've got a pretty tough schedule.
Yeah, it's toughest in the country, right?
Well, let's start here. Why? Why would you do that?
Yeah, initially I thought I was kind of crazy, but our kids played really well, competed, and obviously in a really good position right now. I think the good thing is there's still a lot of room for improvement. Obviously these two have been great for us, but freshmen, first-year kids, very, very high ceilings. How much more the team can improve overall, just top to bottom. So the fact that we're where we're at, even we don't feel like maybe playing our best basketball. Obviously, we played some really good games. You beat the number one team in the country and multiple top five teams. You're doing something well. But, pretty happy with where we're at. We just got to keep getting better.
Sadie, you're a freshman. You come in. Coach Meyer says you're going to get X amount of playing time and have these opportunities. And you see 1, 2, and 5 within your first four games. Like, is there intimidation there? Is it excitement? Like, what's your perspective?
It's definitely a lot of excitement. Coming from high school, like, and having so many people playing in front of, like, in my high school, we had a lot of rivalry games where there's 1,000-plus people in the stands. So, like, getting to play against super good competition where, like, everybody wants to be there has been really interesting and been really exciting.
In Brooklyn, you guys have been thrown to the wolves from the get-go, but you've responded. 6-1 to this point in the season. Northwest has played really well. It's a big jump going from high school to the Division II level. But it feels like everybody that Coach Meyer's bringing in are people with winning backgrounds. Is this one of those things that, like Sadie's talking about, you're used to playing in big environments and you want that challenge of seeing a team like that across the way?
Yeah, for sure. Me and Sadie definitely came from big environments. Like Iowa girls, we kind of are used to big crowds in the Wells Fargo Arena, a big state tournament. So that's always been fun. And, yeah, it's been great coming here, kind of having that same kind of feeling but on a bigger scale, and it feels pretty special.
Coach Meyer, we talk a lot about Molly Hartnett and Kelsey Fields and Kaylee Keston and the Keldermans and the players with a ton of experience, but to put a couple true freshmen into some of these games early on, what has impressed you the most about what you're getting from them?
I don't know that much has impressed me, just because we knew what we were getting when we got them. Just watching them play through AAU, through high school. Obviously, when we recruit, we're doing our homework. We're getting all the background checks from coaches, administrators. What type of people are they? Character. So, I don't think that we've been surprised by anything. But it is hard as a true freshman, especially when you're on a team that, you know, won 23 games last year, that finished second in the league, that made the NCAA tournament, that only, you know, lost one player that, you know, played significant minutes. So it is hard to play as a true freshman. But we when they come in, we. The recruiting process, you know, we want them to be Bearcats. We hope they made that decision. We never promised anything as far as playing time. We come in the preseason, we scrimmage a lot. Every day we ask them, what do they want to do? And they always say play, right? That's what Brooklyn said today. That's what they want to do. And we do it a lot, but it also allows us to, you know, gauge where people are at when we stat everything and go through that. And, they're just two kids that found a way to get in our mix, and they're both, you know, track athletes, cross country. They don't really get tired. So, you know, in our preseason conditioning drills, they killed all that, and that's a big part of it as well. But motors, they're high motor kids. They're always playing hard. They stick their nose in. They're tough. Tough Iowa girls, right? Not really farm girls, but they're tough Iowa girls. So I can't say tough farm girls. But, yeah, they play really hard. They have great attitudes. They're all about the team. When they're out there, when they're on the bench, whatever. So, it's just the type of kids that we want in our program. We talk about culture a lot, and culture isn't a banner on the wall or saying it over and over. It's the people in your program, and these two have been fantastic.
Well, we look Northwest as 6-1. You talk about what Sadie and Brooklyn bring to the mix. It was after one of the wins early on, maybe Minnesota State, but Molly Hartnett jumped on the radio with us, and the first thing she said was, our culture is unmatched. From year one to now year seven, how hard is that to build? Everybody wants to think, well, you just walk in, you're a good coach, you snap your fingers, it happens. That's a process, right?
Yeah, it's been a process. You think back to when we took over, the average finish was 13th out of 14 teams in the MIAA for a five-year stretch. So the bottom of the MIAA, I mean, that's the reality of it. And those early years, it was hard to recruit because you're recruiting not being able to show success before that. In you know, the first year we won 8 games, whatever it was. But we tried to just stick to the process, come in every day, work hard, do the little things. And recruiting is a big part of it. You know, we were able to get higher level players each year. Obviously, these two are an example of that. It helped, I think, that we won the last couple of years, so they can see, hey, we're going to a program that has won, rather than having to say, hey, we're going to win. We want you to be a part of it. And so we had some kids early on that trusted that. But, yeah, I mean, culture, just the type of kids. There's a talent level. You can't just have a bunch of really good kids that aren't any good, because you're not going to be very good. You got to have talented kids that are high character, that get along with each other. And, yeah, I mean, they can probably speak more to just the ins and outs of the culture stuff, but we try to create that. But it's all about the people in your organization.
Well, Brooklyn, a week ago, Emery Zars was here, and there was a clip that I think the Bearcat women's basketball team tweeted out, where she talked about, I was told about the culture when I got here. Then you're actually within it, and you kind of feel it, and you kind of know that it's a real thing. It's not just talk. How has that been something that you stepped into as a freshman, of getting a feel for what this program's about, the coaching staff, in that family aspect of the team?
It definitely made it a lot easier to make the transition. Just like, you already feel like you're at home. Like, everyone's just very welcoming. You have so much support just from your community, your teammates, everything. And, yeah, it's been a very smooth transition, and it has felt very warm, I would say.
And, Sadie, we talk a lot about what you guys are doing on the hardwood. 6-1, playing great basketball, too. But there's also one aspect of it where you're a student at the same time, and you're taking on that full workload, and that can be a bit overwhelming at times, too, for a student athlete coming onto a college campus. How does that balance happen, too? We talk a lot about the basketball side, but there's support on the academic side, too, isn't there?
Yes. We definitely have a lot of people. Like, you have your teammates, first of all. Like, a lot of us are in, like, the same majors, so, like, being able to talk to them and asking for help has been really helpful. We have a lot of great programs here where, like, we're working together with, like, older athletes who, like, know how to, like, do time management. Like, we even have our, like, one of our teammates is a part of SASP, so that's really important. And I think that that's been really helpful, too, just being able to have open conversations with people that have, like, lived it and have been freshmen before.
Bearcat basketball 6-1 starts, and we're talking with Northwest head coach Austin Meyer, as well as a pair of freshmen, Brooklyn Stanley and Sadie Moss, with us. Sadie, we've talked a lot this year, too, about Kelsey Fields, what she brings to the table. She's already top 5 in career rebounds at Northwest with 720. She'll be top 2 by the time it's all said and done. You're stepping into a role to where if Kelsey gets in foul trouble, needs a breather, or just needs a change of pace, you're getting a lot of minutes in that regard, leading the team in blocks. What's that dynamic like of working with Kelsey, learning from her, but also being your own player at the same time?
Kelsey has been amazing. Like, having her in the transition has been super helpful. Like, she always is, like, helping me. Like, when I don't know what I'm doing, or I'm, like, really stressed out about, like, doing something wrong, like, she's always like, hey, it's okay. Like, this is what you can do to be better. And I think having someone that, like, is just, like, wants you to be successful too, as well as them having their own success, has been really awesome. And also, like, doing what I need to do and what I'm good at, because we're not necessarily good at the exact same things, and I think that's what makes us really special players for the team.
Is that kind of, we talk about iron sharpens iron, it's cliche, Coach Meyer, but to see these two work together, you're really kind of seeing that go.
Yeah, definitely. And Kelsey, we talked about her, just the jump she's made each year, but last year she was kind of on an island, that she was our only real, we call them talls, and it was just like, hey, Kelsey, go down to that basket, all the other guards down here. So she's got friends now. She's got Sadie, Maggie, Avery. So yeah, it's been a great group, and it starts with her from a leadership standpoint, and that's the other thing with culture. Like, that's just over time. Say these two are going to gain more experience each day, but now next year already, we're going to expect a lot out of them from a leadership standpoint to our new group coming in as well.
We talked about there's a lot of guards. Everybody wants to be a guard nowadays anyway, it seems like, too. Brooklyn, you're finding a way to break in, get minutes on a team that has a lot of really good guards. How do you kind of play that dynamic of you're learning from everybody and trying to take steps every day, but it also is competitive, and you want to be on the floor helping the team? How do you kind of balance both of those?
I think it's really important to play to your own specific strengths. Like, everyone on the team everyone's a really good player, but everyone has their own personal strengths that that make them unique as a player. And I think bringing those all together just creates such an offensive and defensive threat, like, as a unit. And that's really important to carry over, and just working together as a team, using all of your abilities to win. And that's the main thing.
And for Northwest, a lot of different players able to work into that mix and sub in and out. And it has to be kind of a comfort there, Coach, knowing that, all right, if I'm going to take some starters out, our level's not going to drop off a whole lot because we got such a good bench too.
Yeah, we talked about that early in the year too. Like, you know, we talked about with our team too. We like Brooklyn said, we have a lot of kids that are that can play that are really good, and there's only so many minutes to go around. And you know, we had a conversation, Brooklyn. It was just, hey, you're right there in that, you know, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is. And I don't. This could mean 2 minutes a game. It could mean 25. And she's had that mindset of like, I want to do whatever the team needs, and whether that's 5 minutes or 25. And obviously, her minutes have gone up. She's an elite defender. You know, she, like I said, she plays really hard. She's got a high motor. She can shoot it. She can put it on the floor. And so, just these two, the skill set, Sadie, block parties. She holds block parties every day. So, and her ability to move and rebound and obviously score in the paint and get in and out of pick and roll. So, yeah, I mean, we have a whole group down the line, and like Brooklyn said, everybody has strengths, and it's not that certain people can't do things. It's just some people do things better than others, and so let's play to each person's strengths, whether that's, you know, shooters, make sure shooters are getting shots, make sure our post players are getting inside, make sure our drivers are attacking the paint. If their go-to is defense, just be an elite defender and get the ball moving. And so I think our kids have done a good job of understanding who they are as players and what maximizes, you know, team performance.
7 games to start off away from home. The Bearcats will finally be inside Bearcat Arena coming up on Saturday against Mission University at 2 o'clock tip-off. Are you too excited to actually play on the floor you practice on every day?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time waiting for that, but I think it'll be really fun to kind of play our first game in our new home. So
it's been a long time ramping up to it. It's the longest time since I can remember that there hasn't been a home game earlier. But it feels like the way this team has played, you have a chance to really pack this arena with Mission coming up on Saturday, then Missouri Western on Tuesday. Sadie, I assume that's something that you feed off sometimes the opposing crowd, but now you get to feed off your own crowd. It'll be kind of nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Northwest Missouri State at home on Saturday. Coach, what do you want to see out of your team before the MIAA play really ramps up?
Just continue to play hard. Defend. These guys know we don't like to give up threes, so I get really angry when people shoot threes on us. So we
want 19% so far. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we told them after Saturday, two made threes is too many. So I mean, that's obviously a big part of just continue to defend at a high level. Offense is always you know, every year, no matter what team you are, that part takes a little bit longer to get going. But if we can hang our hat defensively and just continue to play hard, take care of the ball. You know, I think we had, what, 2 or 3 turnovers at the half on Saturday against Jewel. So getting to where we're having single-digit turnover games. But just continuing to improve and compete. And this group, they have a good time together, too. There's a good balance of having fun and also getting to work.
Northwest basketball at home for the first time. If fans want to check that out, 2 o'clock on Saturday against Mission University. Coach Sadie Brooklyn, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Again, Northwest back at home this Saturday. We'll take a break. Back with more here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS, with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville, across from Applebee's. Fast stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV Karen W. comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Time now to talk men's basketball as we're joined now by the head coach of the Bearcats, Matt Keeley, along with Jack Radigan. And, Coach, first of all, let's just go back to this past weekend, a couple of losses on the road. But what were some of the main things that came out of against a couple of very good teams this past weekend?
Yeah, we had a chance to watch the film since even yesterday. And you know, in some ways, and this is always true, it's never quite as good as you think. It's never maybe as bad as you think in certain aspects. You know, I think we've made improvements from week to week, but I think, you know, the film shows and our guys realize that there's still plenty of things that we can keep getting better at. Specifically, you know, offensively, is we got to make some big strides. You know, we're just not scoring enough points. We're not doing it at an efficient enough level. I think that has a lot to do with our pace, you know, just as I watch us, and maybe that's with needing to give better direction on you know, where we want to go and what we want to have happen on our actions. But certainly some more pace, certainly some more paint touches on the offensive side of things.
Now, in yesterday's game, or actually Sunday's game with Concordia St. Paul, they came in statistically anyway doing a good job as far as defensive three-point percentage, keeping teams down on that aspect of things, and a little bit of trouble in that matchup with threes. How much of that is what they were doing, and how much of it was just Northwest missing some shots there?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more on us right now. I'm not sure that defenses are doing anything too tricky to what we're trying to do. You know, on the offensive end, I think it's just more a lack of us having a flow and a desire or a toughness to get the shots that we want on some of that stuff. You know, I do think, you know, kind of on the other side of the ball, you know, that was maybe the best part of the whole weekend was our defensive effort. Against the Concordia St. Paul guys, you know, they are loaded with some firepower and, you know, averaging 90 some points a game. And, you know, without some free throws late there, we maybe hold them in the upper 60s. And that gave us a chance, you know, and probably battled as well inside of a team defensive scheme as we had so far in our first six. So another positive takeaway was probably the defensive side of it, but still have some lack of clarity there on the offensive side in that one, too.
Now, when you talk about the defensive side, too, against Concordia, one of the things I thought was impressive was you held Antoine Kimmins, a player who averages about 30 a game, down to just 16, and you mentioned after the game, too, that Spencer Somers really did a nice job on him.
Yeah, he took on that personal challenge. Obviously, it's always a team game, but, you know, man-to-man, Spencer, you've got him. And, you know, he at first was like, hey, are you sure, you know, in this way? But, you know, we thought his length and his IQ and his understanding would give him some problems, and then, you know, had a good shell behind him. But, you know, Spencer has guarded, you know, Trevor Hudgens, you know, at times, you know, even in his career, and probably not going to run to a whole lot of guys that are going to be more challenging of a guard than that guy. And so just tried to, you know, give him some confidence in his ability to do it. And I thought he really did a really good job. Not only did he hold him to not that many points, you know, he really didn't get very many shot attempts off. If I remember right, he shot it 10 times, you know, and that's a guy that's it's kind of been an efficient but high volume guy. And he couldn't find a whole lot of open ones, let alone, you know, score it. So maybe found something there as far as the matchup goes. And another guy that we know we can rely on as a little bit of a defensive stopper.
Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier, we've got Jack Radigan with us here on the show today. Just talk a little bit about Jack and what are some things that really have come out about what Jack gives you out there on the floor.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot of people, you know, smarter than Jack, both on and off the floor. Sometimes those guys that are really smart off the floor struggle on the floor, but that's not the case with Jack. Jack, I don't think, has had a B in his life. You know, there's lots of times that proves true on the court, too. He's a guy that I got to give more clarity to, because if we ask him to do it, he's all in and all about it, which you always appreciate, you know, as a coach. So if it's getting messed up, it's usually because we haven't given him enough clarity on exactly what we're wanting out of him. But he's, you know, starting for us there in the middle and anchoring stuff for us, both as a guy that triggers a lot of actions for us on the offensive side of the ball, as well as, you know, sets our defense there at the rim. We're going to keep working with him to, add different options for him to help us out as a scorer offensively. But just again, as a sophomore, playing well for us here early.
And Jack, first of all, before we talk about the basketball aspect of things, Coach already talked a little bit about academics. If I understand right, essentially a 4.0 in accounting right now. Just kind of talk about the accounting aspect of things and what attracted you to the accounting major.
Yeah, I would say mostly what's drawn me to being an accounting major is my dad. He kind of pushed me towards it. In the business side, I wasn't really sure coming into college exactly what I want to do. I was always good at math. I had good grades in math. Two of my older cousins are accountants, and then also my uncle was an accountant. And so my older cousins are just starting out, but my uncle, he talks about, like, you know, being an accountant, doing it for a few years, learning business, getting out, like, moving up in the business world, kind of. So that's kind of the idea. It's working out. I'm doing well. I enjoy it. I enjoy the numbers.
Well, and from the standpoint of something like that, too, keeping 4.0 and also being a basketball player at Northwest Missouri State and essentially playing a sport in college is like holding down a full-time job on top of your classes. Just how do you balance the two out there?
Yeah, it definitely is. I would say, you just got to stay on top of things. It's cliche, but a lot of people just procrastinate, getting your work done early. Talking with your teachers, whether you're missing class, always getting, nowadays, like, they record their lessons. So on the road, on the bus, you can just watch the lessons, get ahead of what's happening in the classroom while you're gone, staying on top of your assignments. It's not easy, but the process of it is simple.
It really, it's always struck me, too, when you look at what you guys do academically as well as on the court. It seems like the entire team's been, that's something you guys take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys that just prioritize excellence in a lot of things they do. We got a lot of guys that go to class, sit up front, just are learning on and off the court at all times, just trying to do, the principles and the just what we teach in our program translates over to the classroom.
Now, as far as basketball goes, last year you got a lot of experience as a freshman, getting, I think, four starts along with some playing time throughout the year, and now moving into the starting lineup this year as a sophomore. Just kind of talk about making that transition from someone coming off the bench to being a key part of the starting lineup.
It's definitely different. There's definitely a need to be more consistent in everything you do when, you come off the bench for someone, or you're only expecting to play a few minutes. It's kind of just like, do your best, see how you do. Do all the little things, play hard as you can for those few minutes. But when you're starting, when you're playing a lot of minutes, you have to do all of that well for as many minutes as you're asked to do. And that's what it takes to win a game. So I think the biggest step is consistency.
Yeah, one thing that really stands out, too, from a statistical standpoint, just about 7 rebounds a game so far, 10 blocks on the young season. It looks like you're becoming a force inside.
That's the goal. I'd have Joe Q to thank there. He's our strength coach.
Yeah, he does a great job with you guys, doesn't he?
He does. We get in good time with him. He brings good energy to our workouts. He uplifts us, so we get better in the weight room for sure.
And Coach might just talk about that aspect of things and what this team does in the weight room and what Joe Quinlan does down there. It just does a fantastic job with everybody.
Well, that was my introduction to Northwest and basketball and all that is our preseason conditioning. And the first time that we're together with our group is bright and early in the morning, all the way back to early September, which feels like a long time ago now. But just getting to see, kind of what Jack mentioned is like excellence in what we do and the details and what we do and the accountability and what we do and the energy and all that stuff. And at the core of that, the guy that passes that along that gets to be a part of all the programs is Joe Quinlan. And as a coach, you get to come across a lot of different players and their families and, coaches that you coach against and work with. And certainly Joe Quinlan's one of my favorite people. And so he does a good job of, with our players, like Jack mentioned, but even with myself, knowing the days that he sees that, hey, I might need a pat on the back, and then he also knows the days that, I need a kick in the butt, like, hey, let's get going. And so he provides that as a to a lot of people in the program and at Northwest, and so big fan of his, and he's you know, a big fan of Northwest and our players here. Kind of a fun story. My first encounter with Joe Quinlan, had heard some or Joe Q, it just sounds weird to even call him by his last name, you know, but it was in the summer, and we were getting ready to meet for our very first summer camp meeting, and we were going to meet at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm standing up on outside the ticket window ready to meet with the team, and hey, camp, let's go, 9 o'clock, no one's there. I'm like, what is going on? So I walk down in the Heart Center in our basement, and everyone's getting ready to meet in the Heart Center, but it was like 9:02, you know. And so we get the meeting done and get our guys signed up and directions, and the little kids start showing up, and Joe just walks over and just puts his arm around me and says, hey, unless that meeting was supposed to start at 9:02, you were 2 minutes late. Don't let it happen again, you know. And it was, I mean, I didn't know him well enough, like, hey, are you kidding, are you serious? And he was both. He was delivering that message in a way to let me know, you know, what excellence is here at Northwest, and kind of giving me a hard time, but there was some seriousness to that too, like, hey man, you're the leader, don't be late. And he didn't care if I had a good excuse or not, and it really didn't matter if I had a good excuse or not. So yeah, that's Joe Q from the beginning, and it just continues to add and impact our guys. You know, obviously helps us to as a, you know, university to win games, but he's trying to help people be winners, you know, on and off the floor, and he's awesome at that.
Now, I think you've answered a little bit of this next question I've had for you here a bit already today, but you look at essentially 3 weeks into the schedule now against probably as competitive a schedule as any Division II team has played up to this point in the season. What's some of the major takes that you have on where this team is right now?
Well, we're not good enough yet, but we have seen improvement out of our group. So it's kind of a little bit of a happy medium there, where we're feeling like, all right, we can still go in directions. I think we're just a way to describe it. We play well in spurts, which are short, you know, but we get glimpses of us being able to compete with some of those really good teams, you know, in spurts. And we got to move that out into stretches, to where those spurts become a little bit longer, and then eventually get to, you know, where that's just who we are. And if it's not that way, then we're just off for a short spurt, and we can find our foundations, you know, just through our faithfulness again. But, unfortunately, you know, it's a cliche of being a process. We're trying to speed that up as quickly as we can. Our guys want to speed it up. Our coaching staff wants to speed it up. Sometimes it takes what it takes. I'm still hopeful that, you know, we'll make another big step before we get to play conference games on Tuesday, because that's a really good team that's 5-1 or maybe 6-1 even now coming in here. That's going to give us a great challenge. But I think these guys, because they care and because they work hard, that's a great combination of guys to have in individuals. And we'll keep battling with those guys, alongside those guys in that way. And get it figured out. I just assume it's be December 3rd and not March 3rd. But we'll see. We'll keep working at it.
Now, this is Thanksgiving week. Classes are off on that campus. So does this give you a little bit of an opportunity? Obviously, they'll have a chance to get with some family, their family, for a little bit. But just to where you can just kind of concentrate on basketball this week?
Yeah, I think kind of even the next 2 weeks. We got a Thanksgiving break, and then we have a couple conference games the week after that. And then we got finals week and Christmas break after that. So kind of three of the next four are unique, where we get to practice for a little bit longer stretches. We're going to try to take as much advantage of that as we can. We go a couple days here this week, and then we're going to have the team over the house, which is always fun. Give them a break for those that are close by, and to go home and have a day or day and a half with their family and some Thanksgiving stuff, and be reminded that, you know, the hardest thing in our life right now is that we're not winning basketball games, which is really important and a part of our identity. But we have a lot of things that we do have going well, and a lot of gratitude to be thankful for. And so I continue to be thankful for our guys and the buy-in that they have. You know, like I said, hopefully we get this thing rolling in the right direction.
Again, we've got Jack Radigan with us here on the show. And Jack, when you look at where you're at right now this season, what's some of the things that really stand out to you about things so far, and some of the improvements you'd like to make the rest of the year?
I think things that have stood out for us is that haven't shown but we have done in our scrimmages, done in our practices, is our ability and just our talent on the floor, our length with our shooting. I think the potential is there offensively once we get, how Coach Keeley mentioned earlier, the flow down. It's a process of getting to this flow that we haven't quite gotten. We thought we had it, and then we played a scrimmage that went well, and then we thought we had it, and then we played a different team. And now we're just working to get to it, and it's not really something you can quite measure. You can kind of see it if you know what you're watching. You can see how we just get stuck on offense sometimes, and no one ever, not ever, but at times, no one looks like they're on the same page. We don't get side to side sometimes. We don't touch the paint. I think the biggest stride we're going to make is not necessarily in the numbers or in the shooting percentages, but in what our shots look like and the kind of shots we create by playing better as a team. And I think that's just going to come with playing more. I mean, even though we've had however many months, we've had three or four weeks of playing other people and who actually scout us and who actually know what we're about. And so I think we're just going to keep getting better at playing against other teams and learning to play together and find good shots.
As Coach mentioned, and we talked about, it is Thanksgiving week, so an opportunity for you guys to just spend a lot of time together. What are some things this week that you're looking at to just enjoy being together with the rest of your team?
Yeah, I mean, last night, some guys, we watched the first Gladiator movie. We're planning on going to the second one sometime this week in theaters down at the Hangar. Also, as Keeley mentioned, he's having the team over. A couple of people are being very generous, making us a nice meal. We're going out to eat as a team quite a few times, just spending time playing video games, getting in the gym together. Later today, me and a couple guys will be getting in a late night lift since we have an off day and there's just not much to do. And on the side of it that's organized, and on those days we have off from basketball, I'll be going home and then up to Iowa to see my extended family, which I'm excited for. So it's just kind of a time to keep up the basketball and take a step away from school and spend that extra time connecting with your teammates.
And again, Coach, you mentioned that next week you get into the MIAA schedule, Missouri Western next Tuesday, and then a short turnaround, a trip over to Emporia on Thursday to face Emporia State. So I guess you look at the things for next week, a couple of good opponents here coming up.
Yeah, really good opponents, both of those programs. Obviously, Coach Will has the Western guys playing well early, and you know, the Emporia State guys, we saw them opening weekend, and as the other team in the, you know, classic there, and so got to see them in person, and pretty much true all the way throughout our league, you know, that there's going to be quality opponents night in and night out. You know, Jack mentioned we're on our 30th practice of the year, you know, as a group, and we're a little you know, behind in that way, where some of these teams have played together for you know, maybe a year or two, or you know, even spring workouts or whatever it was. But you know, that's the only times we've been together, and it's not an excuse, but we just have to speed up our process of being together and making things happen. And you know, it's happening in the mess right now, and you know, along with that, you deal with you know, individual frustrations, group frustrations, individual roles, you know, guys in and out of lineup a little bit, and it's nothing that everybody in the country isn't dealing with it in some way, shape, or form. We just have a little bit less of a natural foundation, you know, to fall back on. And so we're trying to continue to find that. Our guys are hunting for it. You know, we're a long ways away from, you know, feeling like we're mailing this one in or anything like that. That's not who we are. That's not excellence. That's not the character of the people we have. Yeah, so we're going to go to work on the simplicity of winning tomorrow. And, you know, we talk about, like, how do we get better today? Some of that's going to be getting to the training room and, you know, taking a day off from our mind. Jack mentioned he's going to go and get in the weight room. You know, we're, as a staff, watching a ton of film. You know, you don't wish it away. When it's not going your way, you don't whine it away. When it's not going your way, you got to work it away. And so our group is going to put in the work. And we're looking for that to pay off, hopefully sooner rather than later.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us.
Hey, thanks, John. Hey.
And again, that is the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Matt Keeley, along with Jack Radigan, the center for the Bearcat team, as they are off until next Tuesday when they face Missouri Western in a 7:30 start. A reminder, you're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. We've got Northwest women's basketball coming up on Saturday. That will be online at kxcv.org, as well as the Bearcat Public Media app under the Northwest tab there, as we will have over-the-air Maryville Spoofound football on Saturday afternoon as they take on Blair Oaks in semifinals of the Class 3 state championship. So a lot coming up this weekend. You can catch it all right here on KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. Thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast here today. Matt Tritton and the interviews that he conducted, and I'm John Coffey, and we'll be right back with you again next week at this time for more on Northwest Missouri State Athletics on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.